League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4. One in the books, two to go. Plenty more show. Before we go any further, though, I do want to send out condolences, and it's someone that I believe Barry will be concerned about as well. Don Rickles, longtime comedian, dies at 90.
Don Rickles?
Yeah. He was big time at one time, but he was there. He paved the way for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's he was 90.
Yeah. Good life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably time at 90. I don't want to be that old.
Just want to take a hit.
Go to yeah. I'm just about 75. Cash me out. I'm done. 90. He was still working, too.
Just mentioned Springer Dinger in public.
Fred Williams was like, Nick's low on the dump button. Nick's like, why? What'd I miss? He's like, oh, Barry said bitch. I thought Barry said bitch.
Twice.
Yeah, you can. You can say bitch on there.
Yeah, but he says he listens to. He's a new listener and he loves the show. So
awesome,
we appreciate it, bud.
Fred, welcome, man. Glad to have you. Yeah, I'll say a lot of inappropriate things. Hang in there,
Fred. It's awesome. You're no longer like some of those bitches out there that don't want to listen. You're one of the cool people now.
I'd like to tell you it gets better, Fred. No, it doesn't.
I still go back to the lady at the golf tournament. We're sitting on the deck and everybody can hear us, but. You have to go by one of the speakers to hear what's going on over the air. But it happened to be one of those subjects when we were talking about it, which was non-sports related. And she gets up from her husband, and she's standing behind Barry and looks me dead in the eye. And she goes, what is this, potty talk? It's just all potty talk.
I wish I heard that.
She stormed off, and I was like, seriously?
I think we were talking about pooping, actually.
I don't remember what it was.
I think you're right.
Are we talking about porta potties?
Yes. That sounds yes. right. Yep, that yeah. sounds right.
Brent Shear said, I'm at Potbelly right now. What the bleep are these little round red things? Damn it, Brent. Don't you start. Don't be Tammy from accounting, Brent.
I just hope he's in the he's in the ordering line and not in the men's room.
Oh, yeah. That would be
that
weird.
That would be a different set of circumstances.
That would be super weird.
Feel free to see a doctor at that
Somebody
point.
Had a Jose Altuve question. Are you ready for a Jose Altuve question? Okay. Do you mind that?
Nope.
First of all, someone said, our first text of the day was, what are the odds the Astros go 162-0?
What are the odds you pick a perfect bracket in the final in March Madness? Next.
Yeah, I think they were being facetious.
I know.
Does Altuve slow start an off spring, which is a weird way to put it.
Yeah.
does his off spring lack of production in the spring cause any concern yet?
Yep. I'm not going to lie. Watching, because I knew he had a rough spring. Watching him in this first series, and especially what really concerned me was striking out twice in a game, because that just doesn't seem like him. But I've thought about it a little bit. Like, is it possible that he could have an off year, that he could really just, you know, all of a sudden it's just not there? I have been a little concerned about it. I'm not going to lie.
I'm not.
Okay.
When you got a guy who has done what he's done, every hitter on this team is going to go through a slump this year. Every hitter. Now, whether it's 2 weeks, whether it's a month, but every hitter is going to have a rough stretch. Mm-hmm. And some of them don't get to pick when that happens. And right now, he's in a bit of a funk. He looks a little, discombobulated
he's
at the plate.
Some pitches
he's chasing.
Always,
he's swinging off balance more than I think I'm used to seeing. But no, I'm not going to panic on Jose Altuve because he's that good. It'd be like, you know, Mike Trout will go through a slump throughout a year, and no one's going to panic on Mike Trout. There's no reason to panic on Jose Altuve. In fact, what you'll probably see is, as hot as some of these bats are, and they'll continue to heat up over the next month, Altuve may not, and that's okay because the rest of the lineup is going to pick him up. But then when some of these bats start to cool off, Jose Altuve will carry the team. He'll carry, and he can. He absolutely can. All he needs is one or two guys to get on in front of him, and he can carry this team at the plate. So it doesn't bother me at all. I'm not worried about it. Plus, again, it's just like not getting too high that the Astros are 3-0 against a Mariners team that might finish third in the division. It's three games. Okay. And I'm not going to worry about it.
The other thing that brings me back to reality is, look, in order to be successful in this league, extremely successful, you succeed 3 times out of 10.
Yeah.
So you factor that in as well. And Nick, this is something you need to take to the ballpark, okay? You go to Jose Altuve and you say, one of the co-hosts of my show picked you to be the MVP. So pick it up and do it, damn it.
I will. I'll be like, yo, you should hop on The Usual Suspects every single day.
Yes.
Even on game day.
Yeah.
Jake Marizic's doing interviews with other stations. We can do better than that. We need to get some quality Astros play. And we'll get Blummer back on, too.
Yeah, for sure. I think we should definitely get Blummer back on.
Altuve started, this is a text from 409. Altuve started 2-11 last year. He started 2-12 this season. He'll finish at 330+.
I
tend to agree with that.
Yeah,
I tend to agree
with that.
What do y'all think about flipping Springer and Altuve in the lineup? Nope. I like it the way it is.
If you see what George Springer's done in this opening series, I ain't changing a thing right now for him.
No, and you know, I mean, George Springer, for all the talk of Correa and Altuve being the MVP, you know, candidates that they're going to be this year or they're expected to be this year, I still say it's George Springer that makes this whole thing work. He might be the most important. They might be MVP caliber. But he proved last year, once he got inserted into the top of the lineup in mid-May, this team took off. You don't need any other sample size other than May to the end of the year to know that George Springer makes this whole thing go. And he does that from the top of the lineup. So I'm good where he is. He's the catalyst. He's the guy.
I don't disagree with that at all. And that's why I'm with you. Keep him at the top of the lineup. Here's the other thing that people need to realize when looking at Altuve or even Correa's doesn't look great right now. But there's two things. Just like NBA players of the past, and some still to this day do it, they play their way into shape the first month or the first couple weeks of the season. And these guys are going from spring training where they're seeing a lot of guys that aren't even on a major league roster to legitimate pitching. And look, Paxton pitched his ass off last night. I mean, that's a quality start. Did. 6 innings and 2 hits against that lineup. And he was dealing. And he had some good stuff. There's a guy that they say, look, if he could stay healthy for a season, you could see the results of a guy that's really got a live arm. So they've been facing some decent pitching, too. King Felix, which they've gotten to in the past. So it's interesting to see. But it's just one series. And, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was honest in the fact that I do worry a little bit about Altuve, but it is so early that I see your point.
Yeah.
Right now, I want to tell you guys about Window World again. I just want to try and reiterate for you guys. If you guys are thinking about doing something about high energy bills or the fact that when you walk by your windows, whether it's either cold or hot out, and you hear that little shh coming through under the window and you realize that you're leaking some air, some things are going on that you can take care of, call the people at Window World of Houston. Not only do they provide premium quality replacement windows at a great price, they have energy-saving windows made here in America, carrying the Good Housekeeping seal of approval, and they have low E to meet Texas energy regulations. Windows start at just $189 per window. And here's the greatest thing. You may want to look into it, but you don't want to pay for it. You don't think you have the money right now, you may want to do it later, or you just want to see if it's worth your time. All you got to do is call Window World, 713-439-1172, or get on to windowworldhouston.com. They'll do the rest, and it's all free. They'll come out to your house, they'll check out what you got, tell you what you could do, give you a free written estimate, and then walk away. No hassles, no high pressure. It's just a free estimate, folks. They've got you covered. You got nothing to lose. If you want to do it and do something after that, you get back in contact with them. They pull up the estimate. They can go from there. 713-439-1172 or windowworldhouston.com. Window World, simply the best for less.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, continuing to roll on and hopefully entertain you throughout your work day or drive day or whatever you have going today. Don't hate on us when you start worrying about the fact that you have work to do, because we're doing work for you by working every day here in the studio.
That was a lot of the word work.
But it worked, didn't it?
When we're working on working, you're working, and we're working on you working, then we're going to work on what we work on.
I don't think it sounded quite like that.
No. Somebody texted and said, now I look like a weirdo because I was sitting at the light and then I guess they had their windows down. At the precise moment, I yelled out, "Bitch, you mean tomatoes?" And so I guess everyone started at the light, started staring at them. My bad. And listen, if it's your first time listening to the show, then yes, you know how the Blitz has don't they have like a lead in, or I don't know what it's called, but it's just like a war. The views of Fred and AJ don't reflect that of,
yeah, it's like a disclaimer.
Maybe we should have
like
one.
I listen to their show.
Maybe we should have one that just says, look, we're really sorry.
So we're going to apologize before we actually need to?
There's going to be some inappropriate things said. There's going to be some screaming. There's going to be some weirdness. We're really sorry.
We just need a disclaimer for you, Barry. Something that says, look, producer Nick might or might not get catch the dump button,
yeah,
in time for Barry's language.
Yeah. Somebody said, who was it on Twitter, said I could say balls. That AJ says it all the time. I was like, "Oh yeah, game on."
But we go by a different. We go by the standard of Sharara.
Oh, do we?
Which is a higher standard. Therefore, he keeps us at a higher. He expects a lot more of
us. No, Red. Red is the one. He said, "You can say balls." AJ does it all the time. Oh, sweet, game on.
Watch John come rushing in. Look, here.
I can hear somebody running right now. I can feel it.
Here's the thing: in baseball, they go through a lot of balls.
Yeah,
you could say that,
right? Sure. And you need it. Hey, let me just tell you something. You have to have balls if you're going to play baseball.
Okay, see, now you guys are getting testy.
No, testy is
another.
Hey,
I see what you did there.
That was pretty good.
But damn you, Nick! You
did I tell
genius,
you what
you?
Did I tell you what the B-Dub did to me today? He dropped the D word on me twice.
No,
twice, man.
Dementia.
No, our good friend Richard.
I just figured Barry Warner, you know, he would, you know what they say.
Talk about, I'm sure Barry Warner's about to text Joel right now.
Joel, yeah. I'm tired of it, Joel.
That ugly Laminack. I heard
his name's Richard. I just shortened it for the sake of radio. That's what I'm really talking about.
Did you guys see this story about Pedro Guerrero?
Did you
hear about this?
I did. Nope.
He had a massive stroke, and you know, he's the former Dodger.
Doyers.
And Cardinals. Had a massive stroke. They had to put him in a medically induced coma. And he had undergone a brain bypass 2 years ago. And they said it's a miracle he's alive. And now he's up and he's communicating, talking with family and friends after coming out of the coma. That's crazy scary.
Without question. I mean, anytime you talk about stroke and then you realize you can lose like the function of half your body,
yeah,
and your facial and everything.
60 years old, five-time All-Star, 15-year career that ran from 78 to 92, played right field, batted 300, 898 RBIs, 215 home runs. Andy Huggins and I were talking about this when it happened Tuesday at the Improv. And as you guys know, I mean, I've mentioned Andy before, you know, a comedy legend, Texas Outlaw Comics, Bill Hicks, and Sam Kinison and all that. And Andy loves baseball, and he's always telling me stories. And he told me a story about Pedro Guerrero on the Dodgers. And this was at the time when, you remember Steve Sachs had the issue, yep, of throwing to first, yep, right? He had the yips. He couldn't, from second base, he couldn't throw the ball to first. But this was also at a time when the Dodgers were going through some problems where they were making poor decisions in the field. They weren't playing just good fundamental baseball. So Lasorda has the whole team. He's holding court, and he's got the whole team, and he's talking to them. And at one point, he says, "All right, let's go through some stuff." So, for example, you've got a runner on second and third with one out. Pedro Guerrero, what's going through your mind right now? Yeah, I hope they don't hit the ball to me. He goes, "Damn it, Pedro. All right, what else is going through your mind?" He goes, "I hope they don't hit the ball to Sachs." I thought that was a great story because that sounds like something that, you know, that's such a baseball thing to think. Like, oh, please don't hit it to me. Yeah, and let's not hit it to Sachs either. So
him and Knobloch. How about that? Him and Knobloch were the two guys on two premier teams, New York and Los Angeles. Neither guy could make a throw from second base to first base.
Who?
Chuck Knobloch.
They were on the same team?
No, they both in the same situation with two of the biggest teams in baseball at that time, New York and L.A.
Yeah.
Both guys struggled with being able to throw to first base.
Was that when Knobloch was there? I thought Sachs was before Knobloch.
I'm not saying at the same team at the same time. I'm talking about when Sachse was on the Dodgers, Knobloch was on the Yankees.
Yeah, I thought it was different eras. I didn't think Sachs was. I thought he was, like, maybe.
I thought it was close to the same time. We can look it up. Okay. Both guys had that kind of.
They did. I knew both of them had the issue.
Because the running joke with Knobloch was because at one point he threw errantly behind first base and hit someone's wife.
Oh, Lord, really?
Yeah, and so the joke was just move the wife to where she lines up with first base no, never so that at least he can throw it to the base.
Steve Sachs retired in 94, and Chuck Knobloch started in 91, but I don't think he got the yips till later in his career.
It was Knobloch was basically forced to retire for the same thing. He was a legend for the Twins, and when he moved to the Yankees, he started to really get it. So that's probably
It was about 99, 2000, I think, with the Yankees when he started having. I could probably just look up his errors and see at what point in this fielding did his errors just skyrocket, and that would probably tell you. Let's see. Oh, here you go. Yeah, plain as day, you can see errors committed. So 91, he had 18. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you like the rest of that, you look at it, it's like 9, 3, 8, 11, 99, 26.
Oh, yeah.
That was the year he got the yips. That was definitely.
And how many
year.
More years did he play after that?
He retired in 2002.
Yeah.
So in 2000, he had 15.
I want to say they moved him to DH. Or
he DH'd. Yeah. He had 20 games at DH. And then from then on, he was the outfield, left field, and DH'd in 2001 and 2002. So that they could tell you that it was almost very Rick Ankiel like, where he just lost it and never got it back in 99.
Yeah, there's another guy.
Yep.
All right, Tony wants to get in here with questions for you, Barry, and I'm sure, Nick, you can chime in as well on UFC. What's up, Tony?
What's happening, guys? How are you?
How's it going, Tony?
Pretty good. Just wanted to get your thoughts on the top two fights of the main card this weekend, see who you think who's going to win and whatnot.
All right. Nick, you want to go?
I mean, I'll just make it simple. I think it's going to be DC. I think DC is going to beat Johnson, and I think Chris Weidman will beat Musasi. That's just my quick picks.
So why do you think that DC beats Johnson? Do you think the wrestling makes the difference?
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of DC. I think his wrestling ability is, without question, better than Anthony Johnson's. If he can avoid the big punch from Anthony, which I know is a possibility that he won't. If he can avoid the big punch or the big kick from Anthony, I see this as a win for Daniel.
Rumble is a scary man.
He is.
He is a scary man. And so that's, you know, and that's the thing. That's the beauty of the sport of mixed martial arts and boxing to a certain degree. But I love the fact that you hear the term puncher's chance. You know, I love that aspect of the sport. It's also why I would never bet on UFC. I'll give my picks and I'll, you know, like right before a card starts, I'll go through and give all my picks for a card. But I would never, ever, ever bet on a fight because it's that wild card of, you know, being able to be knocked out and in MMA being submitted as well, which is what Cormier did to Johnson last time. And I hate to say, it sounds like a broken record a lot of times when you talk about a fight like this, but wrestling, more than any other discipline in mixed martial arts, can dictate a fight. And when you've got a wrestler as good as Daniel Cormier is, he usually gets to decide where the fight takes place and for how long. If he wants this fight to be on the ground for the entire five rounds, it will be. So, I mean, when you get a guy like that can control the fight, you know, it makes a big difference. Now, he is the slight underdog, but he's also the champ.
Who DC is the underdog?
Yeah.
Okay.
DC is the underdog, but I like DC in this because when it comes down to it, if you give me a puncher, you know, a knockout artist and a wrestler, I'm taking the wrestler. Especially an Olympic caliber world-class wrestler.
Like Daniel
Not
Cormier.
Just not just a guy. Not just a dude who wrestled a little in high school. This dude is legit one of the best wrestlers in mixed martial arts.
Right,
and so I'll take him. What about Musasi Weidman? Who you got?
I went ahead and picked Chris Weidman. I think Musasi is a great fighter. I love watching him. I think he's a little distracted right now because he's a little upset with the UFC for whatever reason. I think about fighter pay. You know, I always am scared when one of the UFC fighters under contract get vocal and talk mess about their employer.
Yeah.
You know, I just, it's not that it's a bad thing. Absolutely speak your mind. But like, it just makes me wonder where your focus is in terms of training, especially when you're fighting someone like Chris Weidman, the former middleweight champion. So, I mean, I just think Chris Weidman is ready to get back in the win column as well.
This is a little tougher for me. Musasi is on a 4-fight win streak, and he's got some wins over some pretty decent guys. Uriah Hall, Vitor. I mean, although Vitor's kind of old now. He looked pretty bad in his last fight. I don't know, dude. Like, Weidman's a badass, but for some reason, I really want to pick Musasi in this one. And I couldn't even give you a concrete reason why, other than just having watched both of them. It's like, I don't know. I think Musasi, I don't really have a good reason to pick him, other than I just feel like he can beat Weidman.
I couldn't agree more.
Plus, Weidman is what? He's lost his last two?
Yeah, he's not on a... I know about that, but I still feel like he's ready to win. I mean, this, just like you said, it's a scary reason why you would... It's a reason why it's scary to bet on this sport.
Yeah.
Because it's coming off a 2-fight losing streak does not weigh in too much into my decision when it comes down to a fighter like Chris Weidman.
No.
He's got some skill.
Everybody, I mean, you know, I'm looking at Musasi's record. And the last time he had a 4-fight win streak, he lost to Machida. So you can lose. Chris Weidman isn't a loyal to Machida, in my opinion.
No.
So I'll take Musasi in this. Joel?
I'm good.
Who you got?
I know you always go with the white man, so I mean,
what?
Isn't that what you just said?
No,
oh,
Weidman.
Oh, gotcha. Hey, Kirsten's in here. Guess what? Want to tell you guys before we head to break, we're giving away copies of MLB The Show 17 on Instagram. So follow us and comment on Instagram for a chance to win. And I knew that in saying that, Kirsten,
what?
That one Barry Laminack will be storming down the door to make sure he gets a copy that doesn't go to a fan.
What?
I'm just letting you know, that's going to happen next. And when we come back, we'll have much more show because this, of course, is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
These guys sound kind of like Oasis, but they're not as popular, but it's got a catchy beat and I could, like, jam to it. I was telling Nick in the break, I heard this song this morning, and I was like, I remember that song, but I don't remember who. And I had to search for it, but I was like, this would fit right in the genre of Trey music.
You know what's funny is, yesterday when we were at Subway, of all places, and I was playing for you a song I was going to play on my way back Wednesday, which I don't know how it didn't make the list. I don't know what I did wrong, but Timmy T, One More Time, I really wanted to hear that song yesterday.
I think you mentioned it, and I forgot.
And, yeah, I think you did screw me on that
don't,
one.
Yeah.
I think you
don't
have to play that going out now.
Well, he had 8 songs. It's not like I screwed him out of a song. I just screwed him out of an additional song.
No, you screwed me out of that one.
Look at that face.
But then, while we were in Subway, I played you the Timmy T One More Try, and you brought up Stevie B.
Right.
And a song that you couldn't remember or find. Yeah. I'm driving in this morning listening to 80s on 8, Stevie B.
Man.
I was like, that's kind of weird that would just pop up. Because, I mean, that's pretty obscure.
I've been telling you forever that the producers at 80s on 8 listen to our show.
Stop it.
Because it's like the 4th time that we've had a song come up and you were like, I was driving and I heard that song.
Yeah, that's true. What was it? Somebody said, I drive from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. as my job and I listen all day to 97.5. You guys are my favorite. I've been listening to y'all since Radio Row.
I've been hearing a lot of
appreciated, man. People.
We do appreciate that. That's awesome stuff.
I think the song is from Joe Dirt.
That song we just played?
Yeah. I wouldn't know. I don't remember Joe Dirt.
I don't know that I remember Joe Dirt either.
512 wants to know who sings that song, Nick.
Filter.
Filter.
The group is Filter.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. That's great. Somebody said we need a disclaimer or like South Park that says nobody should watch this show. That was Chris from Beaumont. So we should
Chris,
just, yeah.
People don't watch it. They listen to it.
Well, you know what he meant. Joel over there. As a matter of fact. That's
all right,
funny.
So you want to get it?
Let's do it.
Speaking
Whatever.
Of something, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Bobby wants to get in here talking about Russell Westbrook.
Oh, damn it. Did I say whatever?
Yes, you did. Bobby, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. I just have a – when is ESPN going to get that operation?
Uh-oh. You're ready to dump, Nick. What operation, Bobby?
The one that removes their lips from Westbrook's ass.
Ah, look at Bobby. You know? It ain't
I mean,
that Harden's bad, Bobby.
Harden is putting up better numbers than Westbrook, or just as good, and he shoots less, and he has a better shooting percentage. And all I keep hearing is ESPN is about Westbrook.
Bobby,
he's a good player, but
Bobby, are you a baseball fan?
Yes.
Where were you last year doing the same kind of stuff for Altuve when he lost out to
I was there. I called. I called Granado and Rahil.
Well, there's your first problem.
So Bobby, you don't think in any way, shape, or form that Russell Westbrook is worthy of the MVP? You think it's just silly that he's being considered by many people?
Bobby, are you still there? Barry.
Wow.
The silencer! From Barry Laminack. Boom!
Shut things down.
Boom right there is what you call a knockout.
You should play Public Enemy Shut Them Down every time I shut down a caller. I'm just kidding. Just, don't do that. That's way too much work. Plus, I've never shut down a caller. So it would be a lot of much ado about nothing.
Seriously?
Yeah, I don't.
We were talking in the break. Because, we pride ourselves on trying to not be like everybody else. And I know that this topic has gone haywire recently. But why? I was thinking about it when Lamont said yesterday about
J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt.
That was a great point, too.
And it was a fantastic analogy. And it doesn't. And we don't want anybody to eat their sausage. So my point here today was, and talking in the break, I didn't really want to bring this up because it's a topic that can have a life of its own again. But the passion of Rockets fans that are more concerned with anything, they don't care about wins, losses, how deep they go in the playoffs. This is driving them to the point where you can't just tip your cap and say, these are two great players having great seasons. It's let's discredit Russell Westbrook every way we can and then talk about how James is getting screwed. And my big point here is, I would be okay with co-MVPs simply because they're having head and shoulders the two best seasons in the league, which is hard to argue. And because of every point we've already made and exhausted about the criteria and we don't know and blah, blah. But here's the thing. Don't discredit Russell Westbrook whether he wins it or not. This is the first time since 1961-62 that someone will average a triple-double. That's saying something, people. It's okay. Both guys... phenomenal years for both people, okay? It's just, man, to hear these people and see them on Twitter and see them all over say, you know, here's a stat that no one's mentioning that, you know, Russell Westbrook versus... Okay, you can pick a negative on every player that's in the discussion. Instead, it's a lot easier to just tip your cap and say they're both having just incredible seasons.
Yeah, but that's the fun of it though, right? Is the arguing? But you're right. It gets old. What I want someone to come with a new argument. That's what I want. Because right now, all most people, including the media, are doing is just hot taking the hell out of this.
Yeah, part of the reason why nice. We didn't do it for the first hour and we were going to avoid it is because of the fact that it's the same old argument, right? And yeah. The fact that, you know, now I'm getting tweets about, look at this, where, you know, no one's missed more shots this year than Russell Westbrook. Okay, great. But I'm tired of it, man. And we don't, like I said, we don't want to just exhaust it. And if it's a discussion, then I'm okay with it. But arguing, that's where it gets to be a problem. Because people just want to argue and they want to take, you know, below the belt shots or kick someone in the grapes instead of going, look, this guy did this well, this guy did this well. Now where are you on which means more? So
if you're going to call in, give your take real quick. Tell me why you think or tell us why you think Russell Westbrook should get MVP, why you think James Harden should get MVP. We'll take a listen and
here's
we'll move
on. Here's the thing. Yeah, here's the thing. I think we should put some sort of like no regurgitated takes. If I've already heard the take, then we should just hang up. We should just if all you're doing is calling in and saying the same thing that's been said 1,000 times on every sports talk radio station in this town and OKC and everywhere else, you should get hung up on. Mark. Come with something fresh, like Lamont did yesterday. That was something fresh and new, and that's what I want to hear.
Absolutely. Like Joel did today too. If you weren't doing the same thing for Altuve,
well, that's just basically taking what Lamont did and using a different sport. That face. That's a beautiful face. I love. I've begun. I have really.
Let's talk about the Springer Dingers next. If we get a chance.
So much. Don't you do
that
it.
That would be fantastic because he hits them all the way to Sugar Land and Katy and maybe even Galveston right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We are the show that everybody aims to be because we have a show in which players as kids are named after us. And let's be real. We've got a player that's a national champion that thought so much of us that he is named for us, Nick. Joel Berry II is a national champion at Carolina.
He's a national treasure.
That too. And that's why everybody comes to us with their basketball because they know that.
Was that Ben on Twitter who brought to it? Or was that you who brought that up?
I brought it up because I had the trivia question. Who's the usual suspect's favorite player left in the Final Four?
Ah, okay.
Here's the deal. If you're going to text the show with your take, I welcome it. Please don't make it a multi-text story. Like, if your take can't be consolidated down to one or two sentences, I'm not reading some long ass.
Put the Twitter limit on them, 140 characters.
Yeah, I mean, because sometimes some dude. One day I got 7 text emails, which is like you can fit 4 sentences in one. I got 7 of those. I'm like, dude, just call. This is way too much reading in the middle of a show. I can't. I have to listen to Joel sometimes, and I have to, you know, like. Like, but it's a lot of reading. I don't want to have to read that much.
Well,
so
plus you don't screen them, so sometimes you just start reading exactly. In the middle of a segment and then realize there's a lot of potty mouth and minutia in the middle that you can't get to.
Yeah, that's the other part. Now we're gonna take calls because there's 3 MVP race calls.
Marcus is first.
And I wanna say that we've put it out there that we want to hear something fresh and new from you guys. So if in the middle of your take we figure out that what we've heard is not fresh, new, or a different spin on it, one of us will yell lame and you're just going to get hung up on. That's how we're doing it. I love it. With a little in sync.
Well played, Nicholas.
Don't be lame. If you're on hold right now and your take is lame and regurgitated, go ahead and hang up. Because we will yell lame on you and hang up on you. We just want you to know that as you call in and if you...
I think this is great because in the break, this was Barry going, I'm going to yell lame.
I am.
And you're going to hang up. And then it becomes, we're going
to... No, I'll do it. I don't mind. You don't have to. I just wanted to include you guys.
I just never mean to our listeners like you are. You like to be the mean guy. That's fine.
I didn't want you guys to think I was excluding you from the fun. No. I would love to take this on myself. I just didn't want to bogart this.
Don't start being compassionate now.
I didn't want to bogart this. All right.
All right, let's go. Marcus.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just practicing.
What's up, fellas? Hey, hopefully I don't get yelled lame on. I haven't been listening, so I don't know what the tapes were. But I watch basketball often. I've been playing basketball for a long time. I'm not a Houston Rockets fan or an Oklahoma City fan, but I watch them both. The one thing that you can say about both of them, I mean, without each player, the teams aren't better. But I'm saying who makes their team better, who makes their team go. I watched the game, the Oklahoma City game against the Warriors. The Warriors are my team. And it got to the point where when Westbrook wasn't on the floor, I didn't think that they could score. I mean, it got to the point where I was seriously wondering, how can they get the ball through the hoop? Who can put the ball in the hoop? And at least with the Rockets, what you can say is, I mean, if you're going to go off of stats, I mean, it's too close to argue, but at least with the Rockets, you can say, without Harden on the floor, they still can put the ball through the hoop. And I think that's what it comes down with the MVP, for me anyway.
Dude, that's a great take.
Good job, Marcus. See? That's what I want to hear.
Yep.
That's a good, fresh argument and a different spin and a different look on it. And you know what? He's kind of got a point.
No question.
I mean, they can score without Harden on the floor. You've got guys like Lou Williams and Eric Gordon and even Pat Beverly that can create shots for themselves and other people. Do they do it as well as James Harden? No. Do they? Lou Williams can run the pick and roll as well, but not the rest. But it's a good solid take.
No doubt. Hey, wait, Barry, though. Guess what?
What?
James Harden has more double-doubles than Russell Westbrook.
Lame!
For the year. You want to know what the totals are?
What?
61-60.
That's so whack.
All right, next, we're going to go to Justin. Justin, what's up?
Hey, guys, what's happening?
How you doing, man?
How's it going, Justin?
Fantastic. Hey, I just wondered why nobody brings into the account the defensive stats of these two guys.
The defensive stats?
You know, like steals.
Yep.
Or, you know, even hustle points, like when they're chasing loose balls, because Harden does not play near as hard on the defensive side as Westbrook does.
I was wondering when you were going with this, Justin, but okay, I'm with you.
So they don't keep track of hustle points, but I can tell you that they're averaging steals per game. Westbrook is averaging 1.7, and Harden is averaging 1.5. Is that a big enough difference to make you feel like one plays better defense than the other?
No, but there are other stats on the defensive side.
Okay. You want to go to blocks? Westbrook is averaging 0.4 blocks a game. Harden is averaging 0.5.
Now, wait a minute. What? Now, wait a minute.
Okay.
Justin, hold on a second. Barry, you are the one that is driven nuts more than most.
What?
Where's the stat that says who quits on a play when he doesn't get a call on the offensive end and doesn't get back on defense when it's 5-on-4?
Yeah, they definitely aren't keeping that.
Right.
That's not a stat they keep. What else you got, Justin?
My guess that's it. Just wanted to hear y'all's opinion on it.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, I think there's no doubt that Harden is not as good of a defender as Westbrook. But, and to be honest with you, of the four guys that you might lump into the MVP, he's obviously the worst defender. But he's also leading the league in assists. So what's the balance?
Yeah, I mean, look, you could, again, when we do start throwing numbers around, when you could say he's going to be the first player in NBA history that's going to score 2,000 and be responsible with assists for 2,000 more.
It's pretty good.
Shows you that, you know, offensively, look, he's got it all under control. But they're really two different type players, too, because we all know Westbrook's just got a very rare and different kind of motor. He's on 150 at all times. And he's hyper-aggressive, right, on both ends of the floor. But
there's a defensive, in my opinion, dude, there's a defensive player award for that.
Yeah.
There's no official criteria for MVP, but when's the last time someone won MVP because it was their defense that put him over?
That's a great point.
Over the hump.
Brent Shearer said, you see Westbrook's triple-double last night, 42 points, 13 assists, 12 hustle points.
I was going to say, when you said they don't keep track of hustle points, they do in that little corner scoreboard in both corners of the arena, but those are team hustle points, not individuals. But, Nick, to your point, too, and we all remember this. What was it, a month ago when Kawhi Leonard hit the big bucket, came down on the other end, got the key defensive play? Suddenly, that play elevated Kawhi Leonard to the top of the MVP race. For how long?
For about
a week?
2 days, maybe?
Then he was on national TV again, and his defense, he's a great defensive player, but his defense wasn't spectacular in any way. And then they started letting him slide to third in the MVP balloting again.
Guys, I'm feeling pretty excited right now. I hate to interrupt the flow of this, but I just got followed by Uberito on Twitter. And I'm really feeling...
You were one of the last ones, so at least they picked you up.
It's made me kind of horny.
Outstanding.
Congratulations on me!
Hey, you want to take this call real quick before we get to gallery furniture?
Ken, let's get in there, buddy.
Don't be lame, Ken!
Yes, how y'all doing?
What's up, man?
Good, man.
Don't be lame. What's your take?
I'm going to try not to. I really got a question. How do y'all feel if, let's say, Russell Westbrook does win MVP and a lot of people are now picking Oklahoma to get out of the first round. Does that matter to y'all? Or?
Nope. It's a regular season award, Ken. It'll already be done by the time the playoffs start. So whatever happens in the playoffs does not affect the MVP voting or race.
That's correct. Now, if you're asking, does that validate if Westbrook would win it? Would that validate because they beat, which would be the Rockets in the first round? I still don't think that has, to Barry's point, look, it's a regular season award.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't
They
do
have
anything.
A playoff MVP and a champions finals MVP, so.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
What else you got, Ken? Anything else?
Wondering what y'all thought about that.
All right, man. All right, appreciate the call, man.
Yeah, that's look.
Good. We made it through three MVP calls without any lameness or repetition. I'm very proud of our listeners.
I'm kind of upset because I really wanted to fire off one of these drops.
I know
it ain't over yet. We still got an hour to go. And believe me, there's going to be one where you get to have all it. It might be happening right now.
I had to hit El Jefe with a lame on Twitter because he came with the for people using Harden's runner-up excuse. Harden didn't do something that hadn't been done in years, like Russ averaging a triple-double. Lame! It's been the first point that people have made for MVP.
But hey, I keep falling back on that fact that James Harden has more double-doubles. That's important to me. All right, now I want to tell you about Gallery Furniture. My man Mattress Mac, he has been a staple in the Houston community forever. And the reason why everybody knows Mattress Mac is because it's not just the crazy commercials that are effective. It's the fact that he has great furniture at great prices, and they take care of you with customer service. Gallery Furniture now with three locations across the Houston area. It's Grand Parkway between Sugarland and Katy. It's the heart of the Galleria at Westheimer and Post Oak, and it's the mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways. Right there off of I-45. Max sits at the front desk. He cares about his business enough that he's going to greet you at the door, put you in the capable hands of one of his sales team, and make sure you get taken care of the way you need to be taken care of when you're going to shop for anything retail, but especially something as important as furniture in your house. All of his furniture, solid wood, American made. All of his furniture, if you buy today, you get it tonight. It's simply because that's the way to do business, because he knows he wants return customers, and the only way to get them and keep them is to make sure you take care of them when you get them, and that's what he does at Gallery Furniture. Enhance your home. Solid wood dining room tables and chairs from Gallery Furniture, all American made. Living room furniture the same way, as well as the largest selection of American made living room furniture, leather seating, and special order upholstered furniture for your man cave, and so much more. Do yourself a favor. Go check out the Macapedic mattresses, the 2-for-1 recliners, and all that American-made solid wood furniture at Gallery Furniture in one of three locations. Because as Mac always says, there's no backorder slips. And the one thing you'll never forget, Gallery really will save you money.
Lame!
ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.